This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we'll hear excerpts from leading Yemeni activists and a CCR human rights attorney from a forum titled The United States in Yemen, Destroying Lives in the Name of National Security.
President Obama announced the withdrawal of American troops from Iraq.
He's getting good at sleight of hand. Now you see it, now you don't. But unfortunately, they're still in Iraq.
Stay with us.
Michael, there's a new court decision that rules on the issue of when offering a drink of water is a crime. What's your take on this?
Well, we're bringing this, I think, to people's attention for two reasons. One, because it has to do with immigration and refugees in Mexico and the border, but it also has to do with Jay Bybee. Jay Bybee is a judge on the Ninth Circuit, which is an appeals court, one of the major appeals courts in the United States. And he was, of course, the infamous author of the torture memos, or one of the authors of the torture memos, in which he basically said the words for torture and abuse are too vague and you can't really tell what they are, and therefore waterboarding and things like that are outlawed as torture. Well, the case that came before them, when is offering a drink of water a crime, was a case in which a group called No More Deaths, that's No More Deaths, that operates in Arizona, goes through and leaves gallon jugs of water in various places so that refugees who are dying, really dying, can get a drink of water. And they left a bunch of these in a national park. And as they were leaving them, a national parks police pulls up behind them and says, you know, what you're doing here is littering, and I'll shorten the whole explanation, but you're littering by leaving these water bottles, and I want you to go pick them up. Now, these guys are tough guys, the No More Deaths, and as they knew they were being followed by the cops about picking up the water bottles, they, of course, unveil a huge sign that says No More Deaths on the back of their truck, and they fail to pick up all the water bottles, and they get charged under a parks regulation of a misdemeanor for littering. The parks regulation prohibits littering, and it's a criminal statute. And they go to a trial, and they get convicted at the lowest district court of littering. It goes to the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit, and 2-1, the court says the word littering does not mean leaving bottles of water for people who are going to starve or die from a lack of water. That's not the meaning. The word is too vague for people to tell that that would have been criminal conduct. There's vagueness in this word littering. And therefore, the conviction was reversed 2-1, and the people got off. Now, what's interesting about the case is the dissent was written by Jay Bybee, the infamous Jay Bybee, who wrote the torture memos, who said the word torture is too vague. He did not think the word littering was too vague, to give people notice that dropping off water bottles would be littering. That sounds pretty vague to me, dropping off water bottles being littering. But Bybee said, no, littering has a clear meaning. And in this case, whether you use the word in the statute garbage or littering, it's not vague. And the people knew that what they were doing was violating a criminal statute. So here's a guy who, when it comes to torture, said this is too vague to prosecute anybody for torture, and you can allow almost anything. But when it comes to dropping off water bottles to give people to survive, he says the word littering is not too vague, and the people should have known that littering included the dropping off of gallon jugs of water to save refugees coming across the border.
I think it's more than the director. I believe that there is a systemic problem with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Individual agents whom I have had the painful privilege to talk to and interact with more in the past, I don't know, between 2001 and 2005, and since thereafter I don't speak to them, but during those conversations they used to share that this is grandly stupid, they are just keeping us busy and doing things that has nothing to do with actual intelligence gathering and counterintelligence, counterterrorism, and so on and so forth. And they used to admit that there is a systemic problem. All we are being told by the DC is to do this, to interview people, to harass people, to interrogate them, to stop them at the airports, to visit their mosques, to visit schools, and so on and so forth. So I think it's certainly the leadership plays an important role in that continuum, but I think there's a systemic problem in the agency itself. They just need a perceived enemy to keep themselves busy and keep seeking resources. In a response to the recent Mueller statement, I responded by saying he's lying, in reference to that they not surveilling the mosques and they're only surveilling the suspects or the individuals. And I said that that's a clear lie, either a lie or he doesn't know what his department is doing.
Mara, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you for having me.
It seems that every time we have you on as a guest, we're here to celebrate a huge constitutional victory. And today is no different.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Should only be so easy, right, Mara?
That's right.
We only have you on when you win.
Right. Just so our listeners know, you had challenged practice of D.C. police of setting up checkpoints in certain neighborhoods, Trinidad being one, ostensibly because it would cut down on crime.
There were car checkpoints, right?
Yes, in the District of Columbia last summer, the mayor and the attorney general here deployed this extraordinary checkpoint program in which it was really a blockade or barricade program. The special order for the police department authorized sealing off of an entire neighborhood, the police sealing the entrances, setting up checkpoints, allowing no one in without them being seized by car, no one to drive in on public roadways, without being seized by the police and interrogated. It's a seizure and interrogation program. The police would question you as to what you were doing, where you were going, who you were visiting, demanded that you provide them identity information, information on your associates, information on your plan, information on what you were doing, who you knew, phone numbers for the people you want to visit, and information like that. And then...
Wait a second. Before you got there, if I drove my car into this neighborhood, that would have happened to me?
Yes.
Everybody who went in?